Thank you for listening to the Fisher's Life podcast. We hope this message inspires and uplifts you this week. Enjoy the word from Lead Pastor Philip Daigle.
What's happening right now is amazing. But I know this, if God's not satisfied with what's happening, I cannot be satisfied. Now, I need to be content in every season I find myself in, but there's a difference between being content and being satisfied. And I refuse to be satisfied in a place that God wants me to move on from. Content, not satisfied. Anybody ready for Faith for the Future Part 2? Matthew chapter 17. Verse 14, at the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them, and a man came and he knelt before Jesus, and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly, and I don't know why I'm so emotional this morning. Hang out with me. He often falls into the fire, into the water, and so I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. Jesus then turns and addresses the crowd, and he says, you faithless and corrupt people. You know, Jesus wasn't always nice, just so you know. Always loving. How long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it fell from him. And from that moment, the boy was well. And afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out the demon? He said, you don't have enough faith. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. You know, all a mountain is just an obstacle. It's just something that's standing in the way. It would move, and nothing, everybody say nothing, would be impossible. Jesus, in your name, we're so thankful for your grace and your spirit, your power, your love that we feel in this place. God, as I preach your word, God, would you just help me to be a vessel of honor that can perform what you want me to perform? Can you help me to do what you want me to do, Jesus? As I stand here today, would you allow me to say the words that you want me to say? But most of all, God, would you help us to open up our hearts? Just open our minds to be ready for whatever you want to do. For whatever's next in this amazing community of believers, for what's next in this city and in this state, the revival that you want to bring, God, we're saying yes, Lord, whatever it is, we open up our hearts to receive in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. I just want to remind somebody here today that faith is still the thing that pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, in fact, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't say that it's your right living that pleases God. It says it's your right believing. It's your faith. It's not your right acting. It's not your right performing. It's not the right routines. It's still your faith that pleases God. I believe this today. Faith still moves God. It still moves the heart of God. Faith still releases miracles. Faith still changes generations. Faith still moves mountains. Faith still is what saves us. Faith is what empowers us to live out the dreams that God has placed in our hearts. Anybody have a dream here today? Anybody have a dream for something more, something greater? Whether you know this or not, you were born, and before you were born, God wrote a story over your life. Psalm says this, that before you were born, he wrote a story. Now, there's a book in heaven that he wrote a story over your life of what he wanted your life to look like. He put a dream and a gift on the inside of you, and then he spends the rest of your life calling that dream and that gift out of you. Yet so many times, we aren't busy living our dreams by faith. We are busy living our fears. Fear of the unknown is a very real thing, and many of us make our decisions today based on what we do know versus what we don't know. And we would sit here today and say that that's wisdom. When I'm making decisions for this church, I find myself constantly saying this phrase, I can only make informed decisions with the information that I have at the time. And so I'm not going to live at regret because there's only some things that I know. And today, you should live that same way too. You only know what you know, and as you grow and you learn, you can change, but you got to make decisions based on what you know. And that's great to walk in that wisdom in certain areas of your life, but when it comes to the Christian life, we actually have to walk by what we cannot see. We actually walk by what we do not know. Faith is the substance of what we can't see. It's the evidence. Faith is about trust, not control. Faith is about trusting that everything in our life is in God's hands. Faith is about trusting every single day of our lives to our Creator. Faith is resting in the knowledge that God is with us and that He's for us. Faith isn't about having control. Faith is about trusting the one who is in control. You see, control is always a product of fear. And anytime you need control, you need to be in control, or you feel controlled by someone else, I want to tell you here today, fear is standing close by. I want to say that again. Anytime you feel the need to control, or the fact that you feel like you're being controlled, fear is standing close by. But here in this church, we don't lead by control. We're not driven by fear of what could go wrong, but we're all in on hope and faith and trust that Jesus is in control of this community, of this organization. We don't lead people from a place of control. And today, if you've come from a controlling environment in your life, I would encourage you today to give them grace. Because it may look like strength, but in reality, if they are leading from a place of control, they're just being led by fear. And there is nothing worse in life than making fear-driven decisions. The problem for many in the church is that we lean into the idea, and it's a false dichotomy of faith or wisdom. The Bible doesn't give us things to do that are in contrast with one another, but rather it's in tension with one another. Faith, it's different than wisdom, but God doesn't call us to walk in faith and not wisdom. He also doesn't call us to walk in wisdom and not in faith. He asks us to walk in the tension of the two things. It's about grace and truth. It's about walking in the tension of grace and truth. Grace and truth are very far apart when it comes to the spectrum of ideas. I don't know if you've ever really considered that. You might even think they're opposing ideas. And that's where a lot of Christians make mistakes. They go all in for grace, or they go all in for truth. And God doesn't call us as Christians to be all in for one of those things, but He asks us to walk in the tension of the two. It's about grace and truth. And if you're leaning in so hard to one that you nullify the other, you've missed what God is doing. It's not just grace, but it's truth too. And let me just say this for all the ultra-religious in the room. It's not just truth, but it's grace too. It's faith and wisdom. Today, don't let the enemy lie to you and say it's either faith or wisdom. It's walking in the tension of both. Faith does not nullify wisdom, and wisdom does not nullify faith, but rather we walk hand in hand with each of these things together. And I think that we all know faith people. They're all faith and no wisdom. Whoever just popped into your head right now, don't say it out loud. Just don't do it. But then we also know the people that are all wisdom and no faith. I think we know who those people are in our lives, but faith is the thing that actually leads us to the place where we actually have to put the wisdom of God to use. As we step into the new season, we are stepping out in faith, but we're walking in the tension of faith and wisdom together. Faith says we may not know the outcome, but we have to try. Wisdom says you're going to make the right decisions along the way, even though you don't know what's around the corner. Faith says we may not know the outcome, but we have to try. Faith says I may not know every step of the journey, but I know this, I cannot stay here. And part of having faith for the future, I hate to break it to you, for all the risk-adverse people that are in the room, part of having faith for the future means that we have to take risk. To be honest here today, I've always loved taking risks. Thank God today I don't gamble, because I would have lost a lot of money on my March Madness brackets, because I just picked all upsets, every single one of them. And we did something really fun as a family this year, first year we've ever done it. I'm in a lot of different brackets and leagues, and just same thing for fantasy football, which my wife just absolutely loves. But I have a group of friends home from Houston, about 20 friends that I grew up with, and I love to stay friends with the people that I grew up with. And I asked them this year, I said, hey, I've always done a bracket. Can my boys do a bracket with us? And they're like, absolutely. Like, how good could, you know, a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 9-year-old be? And somehow at the end of weekend one, my middle son, Dean, has the number one bracket out of 20 people. Hey, man, come on, somebody. There's a gift on his life. God wrote a story over his life, and it's... Somehow I feel like I'm winning, but yet when I look at the bracket, I actually have the worst bracket in the league. I don't know. I thought it was wisdom and faith together, but he just gave me faith for the future right now. I love to pick the long shot. I love the underdog. I was watching Oakland play yesterday with Jack Golke, and maybe if you're not a sports fan, just move past this moment, but underdog. I was cheering so hard. I was flying back from Houston last night, and I was watching them play, and I was like, oh my goodness, come on. And sure enough, they lost, but it was fun cheering for the underdog. I love the risk of somebody that's not supposed to win to find a way to fight and to claw and to scratch. Nobody likes the favorite unless it's your team. Can I just tell you, nobody likes the favorite. Everybody likes the underdog that doesn't have a shot and fights their way through, and that's what I like about risk. Taking a risk is not what everyone would do. And this has always been my personality. My mom told me growing up, she always thought that I was going to have a job at either jumping out of a plane or being a fighter jet pilot. And instead, I did something much more dangerous. I became a pastor. And I was the kid growing up that was always jumping off the roof, onto the trampoline, into the pool. And just as a father now, and I'm watching all of our kids, I always thought Brady was most like me, but he's actually really responsible, and I'm realizing more and more Houston is more like me, and that scares me to death. I was the kid jumping off the roof, hurting myself. I was the kid doing all the crazy stuff, but today I am 40. I wear glasses at night. I drink collagen. I'm on a vitamin routine. I've recently just dove into cold plunging and saunas. I don't even know. I'm trying to, and maybe it makes me younger. I don't know. I drink hydrogen water. I read about how to grow your grass. God, what happened? I'm really into life insurance right now. Like, and the reason is I've always loved to take risks. But now I have to be much more cautious than what I was when I was single. And the truth is, there's a sense that playing it safe in life is a wise thing. I do believe that's a part of life. I'm not jumping off roofs anymore. Thank you, Jesus. But there's something about growing in life and thinking that we're moving towards wisdom, and in reality, we're walking away from faith. And the truth is, there's a sense that playing it safe is the wise thing to do when it comes, but when it comes to the area of spirituality and following God and being a Jesus follower, you have to be careful, because I know this: Jesus did not come to die on a cross for my sins so that I can stay where I'm at. He didn't come for me to stay in my sin. He didn't come for me to stay in my religious thinking. He didn't come for me to live in my self-righteous, opinionated ways of thinking. He didn't die on a cross for me to live a tame, domesticated life doing my cute little church thing and then headed home. That is not the life that Jesus died for. But he came to give life, and what life abundant. I love the translation that says life to the fullest. If you're not living life to the fullest, you're missing out what God has for you. He came so that we could stand at this moment and take a leap of faith. For many of you, what does that look like? We say things in church like taking a leap of faith, and it's a great thing to talk about when we don't fully understand what it means. What does it mean to take a leap of faith? For many of you, a leap of faith could be coming down to be prayed for. Like, you're the last person in the world that would ever want to be prayed for in public. Maybe for you, that is the leap of faith that you need to take. Maybe for some of you, taking a leap of faith could be getting baptized. It could be starting a new business. Honestly, taking a leap of faith could be just opening your heart to the idea that God is real. It could be just opening your heart to the idea that God has something more in store for you. Maybe you walk through life believing that there's maybe just almost agnostic, like you believe in God and you believe he's real, but you don't believe that he's invested in your life. Maybe taking a leap of faith means, you know what, God, you do really care, and you see every moment and you see every need and you see every place in my life. It could be just opening up your heart to trust God. And many of us, because of culture, because of the world that we live in, because of friends, because of life experience, and even because of the enemy of our soul, we're standing on the edge of taking steps of faith, saying, I don't really know what he's talking about. I don't really know what to do. I want to live a life of faith, but I don't really know what to do. I don't really know how to get involved. I don't really know what's ahead. So I think I'm just going to do what I've always done. I'm just going to stay here. I think many of us, as we walk through life, that's how we live our lives. And because we don't know what to do, we do nothing. We think that staying where we are has less cost than stepping into the unknown. I'm just going to stay here. I'm just going to stay where I'm at because it's the safest thing to do. It's what I know. It's what I can see. But can I just tell you here today, the journey of faith is always a path into the unknown. And oftentimes we commit to a lack of faith by isolating ourselves. We isolate ourselves either in our pride, our insecurity, our unresolved trauma, and even fear. And if I can use a term from the past, here's what we do. We self-quarantine spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And we say, I'm just going to stay where I'm at because this is what I know. And there's a lot going on in the world, so I'm just going to stay where I'm at. Can I just tell you today that the enemy wants that in your life more than anything? The enemy wants you isolated. The enemy wants you alone. He wants you just to hide out in fear, thinking everything's going to blow over one day. And if you just hunker down, then maybe you can survive. If you just hunker down, then you can escape. If you just hide, if you isolate, if you try to do it alone, you can survive. It's the biggest lie of the enemy, that we don't need each other. But this is why the church is so important, and this is what the church is supposed to do, to facilitate you into a journey of faith. The church is not the destination, but I pray that this church spurs you on into faith and what a life of faith should look like that allows you to truly experience what God can do in your life. There's nothing that excites me more than to see people launching new businesses, meeting new friends, trying to do something new in your life, trying to step out of your comfort zone. Can I tell you, that is the place where faith lives, right outside of your comfort zone, right outside of the place where you want to stay. The life that we are living is about the journey, not the destination. I've heard it said before, who will go further? The one who loves the destination or the one who loves walking? I love the walk of faith. I love the journey. I'm consumed with taking steps of faith. Can I tell you today, I don't know what the ultimate destination for this church is. I don't know where God is taking this church, and I love that he doesn't show me and he doesn't tell me. He just gives me one step to take at a time. Who will go further? The one who loves the destination or the one who loves walking? My good friend Trent Smith is in the room. I talked to him here in the lobby. He's field goal kicker at HSC, and he was talking to me about his field goals today. And Trent, where you at, bro? I'm sorry to just completely embarrass you. There you are, right here, my boy. And I was telling him, just as a pastor can do that loves sports, I was asking about how he's doing, where he's going. I'm like, bro, do you love the grind? You got to love the grind. Games are fun, but you got to love the work. And he's telling me how much he's doing, and he loves it way more than I'm ever trying to inspire him to do. But that's what I tell my kids all the time. Like, you got to love the work. If you don't love the grind, the game's not going to be fun. You got to love the journey, not just the destination. We have to be consumed with the journey of faith, not just where we're going. We all want to make it to heaven. Amen. Come on, somebody. We want to go to heaven. Woo! You got to love the journey. If you don't love the journey is going to kill you, but you've got to love the grind. You've got to love the journey. I love the walk of faith that we're on. I'm consumed with taking steps of faith. I love progress. I love movement. I love the idea that I may not know where we're going, but I cannot stay where I'm at. Can I just encourage you today that every decision that you make to stay where you are, mentally, spiritually, physically, is going to cost you something. You should be afraid of losing something by staying where you are. And the greatest cost that any of us will ever pay is not money. The greatest cost is time. Because while we are busy playing it safe, we are paying the price of time. Today, think about it. Netflix doesn't cost you $19.99 a month. It's probably going to be $25 by the end of the year. It doesn't cost you $19.99 a month. It costs you your time. Your boy's not preaching against Netflix, or I'd really be a hypocrite. I'm just saying that every decision has a consequence. Even not making a decision has a consequence. Because even when you don't make decisions, by definition, you are making a decision. But I have good news today. I want to tell you that God redeems our time. God can redeem what we've squandered. God can redeem what we have lost. God desires movement. God desires action. And we talk about putting our faith in Jesus. Can I tell you, that's not a destination. That's the start of the journey. God can redeem what we've lost, but that faith is what pushes us to action. And so we're a church that believes this. We're saved by faith. But then we also know that faith without works is dead. Again, it's the tension. We walk by faith. We live by faith. What saves us is that we came to a moment and a realization that we believe that Jesus is who he says that he is. But by faith now, we have to step into the works. The Bible says that he has a work for us to do, that there's a calling for us to live out. And so it's not just faith by itself. It's not works by itself. We're saved by faith, but then faith without works, it's dead. If you don't know what to do today and you've put your faith in Jesus, if you're wondering, I want to take a step of faith. I don't know what to do. Can I just tell you, even in this moment, maybe you're sitting here today, can I just encourage you in the middle of a message just to say, Jesus, I don't know what to do. My faith is in you. Can you help show me the next step that I need to take? Because a lot of times when it comes to faith, you won't know until you ask. Jesus said, if you ask, you're going to receive. And many of us that walk by faith and live by faith have never lived a life of asking. If you're a faith following Jesus believer, guess what? You better be good at asking. And we can ask for a friend, we can pray for somebody else, but when it comes to our own life, we sit here and we listen and we observe and we judge and we watch. When we've never asked Jesus himself, what should I do with the faith that is on the inside of my life? Jesus said, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it will be opened. Recently, and this is a fun story for me to tell, and I didn't ask this person if I could tell it, so if I shouldn't have told it, I'll just apologize. But we have good friends, our friends, the Lucas family, who they're the CEOs of Lucas Oil, and we've met them through baseball, and they've been so kind to us and been so amazing to us. But they know that I'm a big Texans fan, and at the end of this past year, the Texans played the Colts the last game of the season to go to the playoffs. And of course, you guys know the outcome of that game, and the Texans won and the Colts lost, and the Texans went to the playoffs and the Colts stayed home. I'm sorry, I've got lost for a second. Let me just get focused here. I had tickets to the game, and I was so excited about the game with my boys, and we got a text from them, and they knew that we were Texans fans. They asked us to go with them to the game, and so I told Brady, I said, buddy, we have tickets, but we got to sell them. I've got to go with this, you know, amazing people that we love, and they're asking us to go with them, and Brady just started crying. I'm like, oh my goodness, I have done this to them by encouraging them to go to games. And so I tried to make it all work, and this really has nothing to do with my message. I just want to finish the story. But our good babysitter, Juliana, we called her, and we said, look, will you take the boys to the game? We can't do it. And So they're on their own now at a game. They're 15 rows up in the end zone with all the drunks and the crazies, and I'm sitting up in the suite, and first play of the game, C.J. Stroud steps back, three-step drop, play action, the safeties come up, I see the play developing, he throws a 75-yard pass. I'm really passionate about faith and football, and he throws this bomb, and I stand up, don't yell, but stand up, like, oh my God, and Annie's pulling on my jacket. We are with the Colts right now today, we live in Indy. Sure enough, it was a touchdown. I text Juliana, I was like, how did my boys respond? I've been training them for years. I need to know. They're soaring now. We're pushing them out of the nest. They're on their own. And she said, your boys went absolutely crazy in the end zone. And all the Colts fans are looking at three little Texans jerseys. I said, God, my work here is done. I'm out. But it was so amazing. Before we were going, when he asked me to go, my wife said, what are you going to wear? I said, I'm wearing my Texans jersey. So what is what I do? So who I am? She said, you might want to reconsider. She's so wise. I text Morgan. I said, hey, would it be okay for me to wear my Texans jersey? I was planning on doing that. And his answer was, yeah, just be a little subtle with it. I was like, I can't. I have to be Pastor Phillip tonight. I went in just regular street clothes, no Colts, no Texans. The hardest game I've ever had to watch in my life, silently in my heart, cheering. It's what it means to be a Christian in the world today. No one knows the pain. After the first play, Katie, his wife, turned and said to me, if this is how the game goes, you're going to have to leave. I didn't know if she was joking. I laughed. She laughed, but my laugh was nervous. She let me stay. You know, the reason why I text Morgan is because I had a relationship with him. She asked me that question, and I didn't know the answer. I didn't know. I actually probably would have made the wrong decision and showed up in my Texans gear. But something so beautiful, I text my friend, and he gave me the right answer. You see, it's easy to ask when you have a relationship. And many of us have decisions to make in our lives and we don't know the answers. Can I tell you, when it comes to putting your faith in Jesus, when you put your faith in him, it's for one reason, that you can go to him at any time and any moment and ask him, what is the right thing that I should do? What's the next step that I should take in life? You see, there's something about becoming a faith person that if you're going to be a faith person, you have to learn how to ask. And we're a community of faith. And can I just tell you, this church is not going to be afraid to ask what is next. God, what do you want us to do? We will not be afraid to seek. We will not be afraid to knock. And we know that in the middle of that, God is going to open the doors. We're going to find him. We're going to ask and receive. This is the life and the journey. Go through this real fast. I love this story in Matthew 17. There's a dad and he's struggling. A desperate father, a parent with a child, and there's no anguish like the anguish of a parent that has a child that's sick or hurting or tormented. His own child, as the Bible says, is being tormented by the enemy. And can I just tell you today, we have a lot of parents in culture that their children are being tormented by the enemy of their soul. But this parent, this dad, he knows where to go. He goes to the right place. I said this last week, but I'm going to keep preaching it. Can we be a church that people know where to go when they are hurting, that they know where to go when they are lost, where they know where to go when they are broken at the end of their rope? We are for therapy. We just spent a whole message talking about it's good to walk through therapy, but I would encourage you, it needs to be a Christian therapist. It needs to be somebody that knows about our relationship and our walk of faith with Jesus. You need that in your life, but we also have to be a church where we're introducing people to the presence of God, because people are being tormented by the enemy. But you know where the enemy can't stand? In the presence of Jesus. Can I tell you here today, there is no stronghold of the enemy that can stand in the presence of God. I pray that this is a place for people to come with their problems, not to come here and hide their problems. I love that the dad ran to Jesus. He says, have mercy on me. He said, I went to your disciples first and they couldn't help me. And in that moment, Jesus addresses not the Father and not the Son and not the issue. Jesus turns to the religious crowd that's standing there watching, the Bible teachers, the religious people, you know, the people without the big issues. They're standing there watching, and Jesus addresses them first. You know, unfortunately, the mark of religious people is they can't help you, but they can always stand and watch. When Jesus hears the Father, he addresses the crowd, you faithless people. He addresses the critics. He addresses the skeptics. God forbid that we would ever be a church full of critics. God forbid that we would ever be a church full of skeptics. Anybody can be a critic. Anybody can be a skeptic. It takes something special to walk by faith. Because the truth is today, God cannot move where there's no faith. Oh, he can do the impossible. But the way that he set this thing up to work on this place called Earth, he works by our faith. Jesus himself could not perform miracles in his own town. Why? Because there was no faith. And so many times we criticize churches of like, God's not doing it anymore. I don't know what's, it's just not as good. Church isn't as good as it used to be. Maybe it's not a church problem. Maybe it's a faith problem. Maybe it's our faith. Maybe we've got to the place where we're not walking by faith. Maybe we've got to the place where we have all the answers and we live in judgment over every church and every pastor and every organization, when in fact Jesus is saying, can you just lay all that aside and say, I want to walk by faith? Jesus couldn't perform miracles in his own town because there was no faith. It was the lack of belief that caused this child not to be healed. I preached a few weeks ago back that the faith of friends helps save somebody, but the lack of faith can condemn somebody. If the faith of some friends can help save someone, Jesus looked at the friends and said, because of their faith, he's going to be made whole. Well, the opposite is true, because the son couldn't be healed because of their lack of faith. God forbid that we would ever be a church that people are hurting and in need and we can't help them because our faith isn't strong. If faith can move mountains, I think unbelief can build mountains. Jesus, in his frustration, says, bring him to me. And then in the front of everyone, he shows what is possible. I just think sometimes God likes to show off. I believe this from the bottom of my heart over the next few weeks and months, that God is going to start showing off in this church and in this community because our faith is strong. I believe in a God that likes to perform the miracle. After Jesus does what he does, they pull Jesus aside and they say, Jesus, we did everything you've taught us to do. We did the right thing, but we didn't get the right result. Jesus, he says, you had little faith. He says, if you had just had faith the size of a mustard seed, can I just tell you, as we step into a brand new season, I'm not asking for a lot of faith. I'm just asking for mustard seed faith. Jesus said, you don't need a lot. You just need a little. You know, we're going to two services. Watch what God's going to do with just a little bit of faith. We're going to do services. Watch what God's going to do with some mustard seed faith. We're going to make more space for our kids. Watch what God is going to do with just a little bit of mustard seed faith. We're going to build a new lobby. Watch what God is going to do with some mustard seed faith. I'm here to tell you that you will not recognize this church in a year. I said it last year and I'm going to say it again. Faith moves mountains, but you got to believe for it. Does anybody have faith that God's going to do what he wants to do? Does anybody have faith in the room that God is going to do something in your life that you've never seen before? If you don't have faith for it, it's okay. Can you open up your heart to the journey of faith and say, I don't know how and I don't see the way, but I'm saying I trust and I believe in you. Three quick things to encourage you. Our faith is in Jesus. Today, our faith is not in faith. We don't glorify anything over Jesus. This whole thing, everything that we do is about Jesus. The Bible, it's our thing. That's what we follow, but our faith is in Jesus. Our services are about Jesus. Don't make faith about what you do. Don't make faith about your convictions. Don't make faith about your confession. Everything that we do is about Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith." Grace came not as a principle. Grace came as a person. Grace is Jesus, and Jesus is grace. And when you receive Jesus and you receive grace, you can only receive it through faith. Don't let faith be in a personality. Don't let faith be in a place. Don't let faith be in a brand or a man. Part of the reason why people have church hurt today is because they put their faith in a man, not in Jesus. I'm not here to say you don't trust people, and our pastors should be accountable, and we should do the right thing. What I'm saying is you've got to put your faith in Jesus. He's never going to let you down. Too many sports analogies today, but I grew up watching Kobe Bryant destroy the Rockets in the playoffs every year. And we'd heckle him at the Rockets games. We'd yell, and every time we'd yell, he'd just hit a bigger shot. He'd shut the crowd up every time. But then I watch him play in L.A. at the Lakers stadium. Every time he would go to take a big shot, the whole stadium would rise up and then hands would be in the air because they believed that he was going to hit the shot. You see, they had anticipation. They had faith. The people that are good, people have faith for. As we stand in worship every Sunday, every Good Friday, every Easter, every two services, when we stand in worship with our hands lifted, we're doing that what the fans were doing for Kobe. It's anticipation that he's healing. It's anticipation that he's helping. It's anticipation that he's working. Number two, faith isn't an event. It's a journey. Journeys have highs and lows. You have peaks and valleys. You have to take the good with the bad and keep going. And there are things that you can learn on the mountain that you can't learn in the valley. And there's things that you can learn in the valley that you can't learn on the mountain. And then this chapter of Matthew chapter 17, Jesus has just been on the Mount of Transfiguration, an amazing story in the Bible, a spiritual high, an unbelievable moment. And this man meets him with a possessed child. If that's not the story of faith, I don't know what is. I had a great service and I got in traffic. And all the beautiful things I felt in service just went away when that person cut me off. You leave a prayer meeting and you encounter something worse than demon possession. You encounter your kids. Amen. I'm just going to keep moving. Sometimes you feel holy and sometimes you feel human. And we all have moments when we say, I can't believe that I'm here again. I can't believe that I've messed up again. I can't believe after all this time of being a Christian, I just want to quit. I can't believe that I'm not perfect. But can I just tell you today, you have to embrace the journey that God is taking us on. March Madness is an event. Faith is not an event. Faith is a journey. Can I tell you today, I never worry when people leave the church because I know they're on a faith journey. Once you've been with Jesus, it's hard to know anything else. And they may leave for a while, but you never know what God is going to do to bring them back. Can we be a church when people leave, we don't shun them? Can we be a church that when people walk out of our friend group, that we don't cut them off? You know, the number one sign that you're a part of a cult is that when people leave, you shun them. I don't know who was raising a cult. Okay, let's go. Keep going. Last thing. You got to stir up your faith. The only thing, the way that faith works is that you continue to stir it up. You know, growing up, I used to go to a restaurant with my family, amazing, classy restaurant, 5 stars. It was called Golden Corral. And I didn't know y'all really loved Golden Corral that much. I love the carb section. Mac and cheese. Some baked beans. Hey, man, come on. I just got distracted. I don't know how to end the service now. But even as a kid, something really grossed me out when I loved mac and cheese. I still do. I eat my kids' leftovers all the time. It's why I would go to the mac and cheese, and if someone hadn't been there in a while, there was this There was this little film on the top of it. I don't know what you would call it. I don't know what the word is for what that is, but it wasn't mac and cheese. It was mac and something, but not. This hard layer of whatever that was. Didn't stop me. I'd get that spoon and I'd get in there and I'd stir it up. And I'd get my mac and cheese and somebody come along. I'm 9 years old. I'm like, can I get you some mac and cheese? It looks great. It's perfect. If you didn't stir up the mac and cheese, it would get cold and stagnant. If you don't stir up the gift of faith that God has for you, can I tell you today, it gets cold and stagnant. Quite frankly, it gets nasty. Can I just encourage you in the middle of 2024, can I encourage you to stir up, the Bible says, the gift of faith that's on the inside. Can you stir up the faith? Can you stir up your imagination? Can you stir up some love? Can you stir up some mercy? Can you stir up the gift that is on the inside of you? Why do we go to church? Stir up the gift. If you're coming to church and you're leaving and the gift is not stirred, we're not doing our job. Why do we do freedom groups and why do we do small groups? Because we're trying to stir up the gift of faith. Our problem is that we don't have faith. It's that we don't stir it up. Let's all stand. We're going to two services. One of the biggest reasons why we're going to two services, can I just tell you? Yes, we have needs. Look around the room. It's amazing. It's beautiful. This room is packed. It's going to be packed Easter Sunday. I encourage you, bring somebody with you. God's going to do something special. Bring a friend. Bring a family member. There's something in the house that can meet a need. It's amazing. But one of the biggest reasons why we're going to two services, because we need to stir up our faith. We've been at one service for too long. We're trying to do it to stir up the gift of faith that's on the inside. We're building a lobby. You know why we're building a lobby? Not just to have a lobby. We're building a lobby to stir up our faith. Why are we building a new kids' wing? Yes, to serve our kids and the next generation. But there's nothing that stirs your faith like taking a step of faith. Can we be a church that's constantly stirring it up? I don't know about you, but I want the gift of faith in my life to become stagnant. I may not get it all right, but I know what pleases God. It's my faith in Him. I know what pleases Him. It's faith. It's not right living, it's right believing, because right believing is what leads me to right living. Your right living will never lead you to right believing. You gotta start at the place of faith. Come on, Life Connections, we got to stir up the gift of faith that's on the inside. Come on, parents, let's stir up faith that God is going to take care of our kids. Come on, young people, let's stir faith on the inside of the dreams for the impossible. Let this be the year that we stir it up. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you speak to the mountain. We have some mountains in front of us here today. And I don't know who I'm preaching to. But we got to stir up the faith. Let's have mountain moving faith. I know this, there's not a lot of mountains in Indiana. I've looked. I truly believe that Jesus was talking about obstacles that are standing in our way. And there's some mountains in our way, but faith says you can just, I see the mountain, I see it right here. Jesus, if you would just take this mountain that was right here that seems so hard and so difficult to overcome, can you just take that mountain and you could just move it right here? That would be great. And we're going to walk. I don't know who I'm preaching to today. Let's stir up our faith. Let's have faith in Jesus, not faith in ourselves, not faith in a church, but faith for the one who can do exceedingly and abundantly above what even our faith can imagine. Can I just tell you today, and I don't always talk like this, but if you put your faith in Jesus, He's going to take you on a journey that you could never imagine. If you would have seen this church 15 months ago, you would not believe what God is doing here today. But I've got to say, the flip side of that coin is this. When we preach a year from now, here's what we're going to say to the crowd. If you would have seen the church just 1 year ago, you would not believe. That's how God works. You don't know what's on the other side of your faith, but faith walks by, not by sight, not by what we not by what we see. I'm not making decisions with a spiritual community based on what I know and what I see. I'm based on what God has placed in my heart to see God do something incredible in the life of this community. It's a new thing. We're doing church like nobody has ever seen before, I'm telling you. And you know why? Because we can do it however we want, and however we want is, if we get our motives right, we're going to do it healthy. I'm not going to say it's going to be perfect. I'm going to say it's going to be healthy. I don't have all the answers today, and I want you to know that as we step into the future, I'm leaning into wisdom. I'm listening to preachers. I'm listening to businessmen. I'm listening to people talk to me. But I tell you right now, it is my job as the pastor and the spiritual leader of this community to walk by faith, not make decisions based on what we know. But I'm also doing that for a godly example. Because it's not about this. It's about this. It's about him speaking to your heart. It's about him calling you. We told our dream team this morning, my prayer over the next few services, Good Friday to Easter services, and Pastor Torn Wells in the next few coming weeks, it's a lot of serving. My prayer is that as we're serving other people, God starts pulling out the gift that's on the inside. Pastor Don's leading an incredible freedom group. Y'all give it up for, did I say Pastor Don? Hey, you know what? In my mind, anybody love Don Starks in the house? This guy is known all over this community for being a life-giving person. And at the beginning of this freedom season, I said, "Hey, Don, are you gonna lead a freedom group?" He's like, "Well, I said, well, it's like when my wife asked me, "Am I gonna take out the trash?" It was a leading question. I'm sorry, Don. Yes, as a matter of fact, I was. Don reached out to Andy. I don't know where Andy is. I saw him somewhere in the house. Where's Andy? Andy, wave your hand right here. Yeah. Step of faith. Step of faith. I know you guys didn't want to lead a men's freedom group. Don came to me today. He said, "Man, God is doing something awesome in our men. God is doing something amazing." I told Don, I said, "You know, it's not about freedom. We talk about freedom a lot. It's not about freedom. Freedom is just the thing that gets you to walk by faith." I said, "There's something on the inside of you, Don, that's called to lead men and help men and serve men. And freedom isn't about going through a freedom conference. Freedom is about somebody else and helping them. Freedom is going to take hold of your life when you go through freedom. That's not the moment. The moment's right here where you start to see the light come on. And you start to see men that have been struggling and bound by addiction and bound by pain and been carrying their pain for their entire life step into a group of men, and we all start talking about it together, and then God leads us." Can I tell you, that's what living a life of faith is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed, by looking around, if you want to take a step of faith today, that means different things for different people. Maybe it's putting your faith in Jesus for the very first time. Maybe it's getting baptized. Maybe it's starting a business. Maybe it's just saying, "God, I'm open to you. I don't know that I know everything about you, but I'm open to what you want to do." If you want to take a step of faith here today, can you just lift your hand? Nobody looking around. Steps of faith all across this room. Jesus, in your name. You've been so good to us. God, we don't deserve your grace. We stand in this moment looking back on the journey out of Egypt and wandering in the desert. You've always provided provision. You've always given us what we needed daily, but the desert is not our destination. There's a promised land, and the only way that we're going to get there is that we walk by faith and not by sight. I pray for every hand that was lifted. I pray for every person that's in this room. And the truth is, as a pastor, I believe that every hand should have been lifted, because that's what God has called us to do, is walk by faith. And God, you're calling people. You're, even in this moment, you're reaching into the hearts and lives of families and individuals. I know this, God, you're not done. I believe that you're calling this church to be a place where people are going to come to from, dare I say it. You know what I'm not ready to say, but I believe they're coming. The north, the south, the east, and the west. I believe that people are coming. Not because of a man, and not because of a brand, but because there's some faith-filled people that are in this room that are dreaming for the absolute impossible. Maybe the impossible for you here today is that your kids would be saved. He can do it. Maybe the impossible for you today is just going to therapy. Maybe the impossible for you today is just saying, Jesus, I don't know what's on the other side of my faith, but I'm trusting in you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's word, subscribe to hear the latest message.